Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
It's the first ever reference to Night Ranger on the show.
And the last.
You skipped that's the all fine. Certainly.
Certainly is not involved.
All right, so what did you pour me here, Mike?
I'm going to let Patrick speak to this because he's the expert on the flying machine.
Yeah, this is a new brewery in Wilmington, North Carolina. It's called Flying Machine Brewery. This is their Empire of Air. This is kind of their signature beer. It's a New England pale ale, Jim. So
yeah,
it's very juicy.
Which is new to me.
Yep, hazy and juicy. And what do you guys think? Nice. I'd love to hear.
So I haven't had, I got to finish something else. But you know what's interesting is it's a pale ale.
Yeah.
So usually a New England style is a IPA. Right. So the nice thing about this is you could probably drink a few more of these because it's not quite as
more
strong.
More quaffable. Yeah. And it's nice.
Let me see that can.
So that's their signature beer.
It's 5%.
Yep.
ABV.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's brewed with Grungist. Grungist and Amarillo hops.
That's right.
Grungist.
Haven't heard of Grungist.
No.
Definitely heard of Amarillo.
The Kurt Cobain hop.
I've heard of Grunge. Grunge rock.
Maybe maybe they do like Metallica when Metallica plays music with their whiskey. Maybe they play grunge when this is
it's a fermenting hop. Yep.
Empire Bear. Okay, very good.
I gotta tell you guys, not making this up, when I went into the Flying Machine Brewery in Wilmington, North Carolina, had the pleasure of visiting that lovely city. Guess what they're playing on the stereo when I walked in?
Not grunge.
Nope.
Johnny Mathis.
Kansas, actually.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that would be awesome. I'm going now.
And you know I texted you and said, hey, Mike, I got something for you. That's what reminded me of Mike.
That nice. Is very interesting.
Yeah.
I noticed that, was it Rob name-checked Kansas on a recent podcast of you guys?
I
think he did say Kansas was one of his favorite bands.
It might have been. I can't remember who said that.
I don't either.
Let's move past that right now. We have a totally different guest. Totally different type of guest.
Folks.
To the show today. So this is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm Mike Snyder.
And we haven't heard from this guy in a while. He calls in from time to time. Right. He's an old friend of mine from high school. He lives out in California. He now goes by the name Echo Park Jimmy. And just strap in. I'm going to press play.
Have school tomorrow?
It's going to be a little while. Yeah, pour yourself some coffee. Ready? Here we go.
Jim and Patrick, EPJ. Long time no talk to. Yeah, Jim and Patrick. Echo Park Jimmy had to clear his throat, collect his thoughts, spit out some spider webs. Woo! I'm talking like Huelhauser, that helps. Yeah, nobody uses the Suburban Party Line, but I'd like to shout out my peeps anyway. Mike Wagner, Mark Neese, love that dude. Some people care about the Suburban Party Line. But I won't have you disparaging the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I'll tell you that much, Jim and Patrick. And intern Matt Lindeskers. But we'll get to that later. Blood Sugar Magic, produced by Rick Rubin? Not standing the test of time? The shredding guitar of John Frusciante? And Danny Californication? I know, Danny California. They don't just do ballads. What have I told you? You want to sell albums? The girls buy the ballads. Not offending anybody. We have very few girl listeners, ask the interns. Except maybe Charlie Bliss. Got a lot to get to, boys. It's been a while. You know when they say he died suddenly after a short illness? I thought I was going to die. At some point after a long illness, I was, they tried to take Echo Park Jimmy out of Echo Park, but they can't take the Echo Park out of Echo Park Jimmy. Oh, I gotta work on that. But yeah, it's been a struggle to get back the essence, to get back into what is the soul of LA. I mean, so many bands have pretty much moved here. Vampire Weekend is adjacent to Echo Park in, like, Silver Lake? But there, he's dating the girl from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, you know, famous father, Quincy Jones. Rashida Jones or Rashida somebody. and his producer is dating Chaim, and we'll get to that. But Morrissey moved here, Tom York and Radiohead moved here, so it's not just Echo Park Jimmy. But I'm saying we're close to the singularity. If y'all don't know about the singularity, I think because of music and ice cream and, you know, we're gonna reach the singularity at any moment. Now, I just looked it up. The singularity, a point in math, we're talking, at which a function takes an infinite value, especially in space-time, when matter is infinitely dense, as at the center of a black hole, a supermassive black hole, or a technological singularity, a hypothetical future point in time at which technological growth becomes uncontrollable and irreversible, resulting in unfathomable changes to human civilization. But I was just talking about, we're working towards the singularity of peace, like racial harmony, like we're even talking about reparations now. But I'm talking about in music singularity, you know, the rock of the suburbs, it's not people calling in. It's like we've all mind melded. We found common brain heads in the rock in the suburbs universe from Houston to Toronto to the highlands of Scotland to the, you know, I don't know. Didn't somebody call from Paris once? It's like globally. You know, the guy next door has the greatest band you've ever heard of, and you want to tell Rock in the Suburbs. So Rolling Stone recently talked about, after like 5 straight years of streaming data, people like Drake and, you know, Fall Out Boy and all the big streaming bands are starting to, their numbers are starting to fall. And all the, like, the middle class artists are starting to rise, whoever that is. But across the board, you know, those numbers are getting better. And I bet even local bands are getting better streaming numbers because you can see them live. You like your DC bands. You like your Seattle bands, wherever you're from, San Francisco, whatever. But, you know, so the musical singularity is coming. Ooh, I love it, Jim and Patrick. But I wanted to talk about a few things, but mainly how amazing the Vampire Weekend album is. Because I love Cage the Elephant, I love The National, both those albums are amazing, but they've kind of just taken a back seat for the, you know, they kind of all came out at the same time, those 3 big albums, but Vampire Weekend, the double vinyl, it's like 18 tracks, like what you recently broke down, Exile on Main Street, but it's basically one of the best albums of the year for sure, and I think everybody in the RT S universe would agree that they recorded it right down the street, and they Ezra the leader got an all-star lineup. Like, I want to say it's almost like a wrecking crew of his own making, starting with my favorite, and their angelic voices show up on almost every track. Yeah, I should pause and say, I don't want to disparage Matt Wendler, the greatest intern ever born, because he's the gatekeeper to the answer machine to Jim and Patrick. So if you people out there, if you ever want to call in to Rock in the Suburbs, the Suburban Party Line, 440-1984, I don't know what the number is, but you know what I'm saying. 660? Come on, help me out. I got to write a new book nook theme, too. I'm not disparaging anything, but I got some notes on the perfect albums. I know that's the largest fan of Rock in the Suburbs, but you got to have some parameters on perfect albums. Ween, no, they're not popular enough. Unforgettable Fire, absolutely not. One of those songs, Bono was like, I'm going to pick up the words as I come into the studio. MLK in America, it's called, I think. And he's like, making up words, like worse than Echo Park. A perfect album, in my mind, has to be completely solid, no filler at all. Not even a, like an intro skit. Not even a music, not even an instrumental, like all killer, no filler. Joshua Tree is close, probably. If you like that song, Exit, which is brilliant, but I'm sure there's one or two songs you'd be like, it's not the perfect album. Born in the USA, I don't know what you're talking about. Glory Days, it might be cheesy or whatever, or corny, but no song has ever distilled that lyrical content. Nothing, it's got one of the best bridges ever. Leaves you with nothing, mister, but boring stories of Glory Days. I mean, nobody ever distilled that kind of thing, except maybe like the TV show Friday Night Lights. So I don't even know what I'm talking about. But speaking of TV shows, oh, just perfect albums. Like, for instance, Thriller by Michael Jackson, Born in the USA. Those each had like 7 or 8 bona fide singles, hit singles. Now you're getting near perfect album territory. Because I think, you know, there's perfect albums, but just to me. Patrick wouldn't think Night Ranger by Night Ranger is a perfect album. I think that's a perfect album. Oh, yeah. All right. You can still rock it. I don't know why I sound like Marky Wahlberg of the Wahlbergers singing in Boogie Nights, but maybe it's because I live here. I'm losing my high register, guys. But I'll call back later. When you say Justin, do you mean Justin Steiner? I mean, the Rock in the Suburbs universe is getting so big. We need a thing for that. Don't you have like 4 interns now? But if you ever want to get your mojo back, just binge listen to Rock in the Suburbs. I don't want to say I've dabbled with other podcasts because it's against the Rock in the Suburbs fan club rules. But Patrick, I think if Patrick or Jim recommend a podcast, and I got to thank Patrick because he turned me on to Cocaine and Rhinestones that Tyler Mahan Co. does, I can't wait for the second season. But the first season, I'm not a fan of country music, except like, you know, the stuff he covers, basically, which is pre-2000. But even some of the stuff like Wynonna, which you wouldn't think the story of the Germans, that might be the best episode. But I don't want to get off on a tangent, but thank you, Patrick, for that podcast, because it steered me to a bunch of different just avenues. And that's like why people aren't calling in, you guys. Like, you bring up so, like, a myriad of just avenues in music that I can't imagine any other podcast does on a daily basis. But when Tyler Mahan Co. is talking about some country artist, I think, like, Patrick would know they're an old-timey, you know, two brothers from the 50s or something, but he was talking about, I think the Judds might have it too, Blood Harmonies. And I know you're going to laugh, but Haim, we're back to Father of the Bride, Vampire Weekend, their double album. It's got so many amazing treats. But like I was saying, he assembled like a modern day wrecking. I don't know, like, you could dig deeper on some of the people in the band. But the main person I want you guys to focus on is Steve Lacy. He was in a band called The Internet. I gotta look into that band, but I listened to his solo album and I can't get enough of it. Like, I know we miss Prince, and I know it's blasphemy to say to like looking for the second coming of Prince, but this album, he even knows it or something. He's a young kid, and he was born after the Seinfeld show went off the air, if you can believe that. But focus on the song Playground, a song Inside. He uses print spelling. That's what I was saying. He kind of knows he's amazing. But Steve Lacy plays guitar on the new Vampire Weekend, and there's so many good tracks on Father of the Bride that you could just play Pin the Tail on the Donkey blindfolded and land on a good track. But just start with the first one, Hold You Now. Amazing vocals. And it's got this sample from the movie The Thin Red Line, like the orchestral score. Like, there's so many that if you teach me, you keep saying Echo Park Jimmy, you love him over the phone. But, you know, I don't know what's going on. I don't get a second take. I can't listen to myself. I don't know what the sound quality is like. I don't know who you people are. Anyway, Stephen Routledge took over my job picking songs, but I'll get to some song selections if you'll if you'll let me. But I did want to just say thank you one more time, Patrick and Jim, because some of the episodes just fly by and you don't even appreciate them. But I want to tell the listeners, the Ricky Peterson three-part interview with the psychedelic keyboard player from the Fleetwood Mac tour, who's like, yeah, I turned down Prince. That's not about me. I love when you know yourself so well that you're just like, yeah, I'll find my gig. I don't need to be in the revolution. You don't need to be in the revolution? Wow. That's crazy. But I got to go walk the dog. So I'm going to call back with a book nook scene. But I just wanted to run through some, you know, I know you hate this as podcasters, but if you don't have a podcast, it's like start your own blog. But what about an episode of famous moments in feedback? Like, who gets blamed for feedback? But I know all the fans of your podcast know the one in the Natalie Merchant cover of Because the Night Belongs to Lovers. At one point, she's going like, take me now, take me now. And there's a big, in a big squeak. And then I was listening to like commercial radio the other day, and they were playing that Nirvana song where it's like, the man who sold the world. There's one point where it's feedback in that. But if people have that, I think that's a funny thing. It's like, I don't know if I ever brought it up on previous calls, but as a song fades out on the radio where there's something really dirty, I know it's a family podcast, but stop me up. You make a dead, you know, there's that one. And there's like a song by the Babies. Midnight Rendezvous. I know, baby. We'll go walking in a second. Where he's like, oh, I really want to do. Oh, I really want to. And it just fades out. And it's like, it's funny. But I was also thinking of writing lyrics. The Game of Thrones theme. I will follow you. I will follow you and I will stab you with a sword. But anyway, Ken Burns is going to do a and the stone walls of Harmony Hall bear witness. Anybody with a worried mind can never forgive the sight of wicked snakes, Mitch McConnell, inside a place you thought was dignified. I don't want to live like this, but I don't want to die. Yeah, I don't know why I agreed with Patrick. That first single, Harmony Hall, like I wasn't sure how I felt until you hear it, you know, on the 18-track album. There'll be no editing of Echo Park, Jimmy. There'll be no editing of Exile on Main Street. Are you insane? Although side four of the White Album, yeah. Whatever. Why didn't they put that song, Talk About a Revolution? Why isn't that on an album? It doesn't make sense. But just really quick, if I didn't emphasize the greatness of that Vampire Weekend album, listen to the song Sunflower featuring Steve Lacy. Do I do a brain, do a brain? Brain, do a brain, do a brain? It touched a chord across the globe where people were covering it on YouTube. Like, you know, it's an insane track. All right, let's go talk. But he kind of broke it. Ezra, I'm saying, lost Rostam. But he, like, overcompensated by really working on Father of the Bride for months and months and months. And recruiting multiple guitar players, like some of the guitar riffs. What's funny is Steve Lacy takes one of his riffs that he worked on with Ezra, and you can tell he kind of worked it into his album. His album is called Apollo 21, because I believe he's only 21. But listen to the song Playground. There's a song called Like Me, track 2, on Steve Lacy's album, where it keeps stopping and then starting again, and you keep looking at your thing like, did I hit the repeat icon? Why does this song start again? And it reminded me of that Rock in the Suburbs episode where you talked about during the episode. Well, unless it had one of those stuck grooves or whatever it's called, where it's like crushed groove at the end and it gets stuck in that groove. And then you did that at the end of the episode. That was so awesome. I got to go back and find that episode. Hold on. I got to go dig this up on Zoo. No diggity. I'd like to bag it up. Yeah. Just one last note on Steve Lacy. I found the song because it's like an innocuous title. Like it's called Guide. Track 5 on Apollo 21, Steve Lacy. It's just called Guide. And you listen to it, you're like, what the? Because some songs are slow jams. Like some song from like 1999, side 4 or something. But some songs just, whoa. Like, I don't know where he came from, but I get, like I said, Steve Lacy. I want to call this segment like the Stephen Routledge, I guess he gets his songs played segment, Jim and Patrick. But if you can please give a listen to these songs. First of all, you've brought up Starcrawler. And, you know, they're a young band. They're kind of feeling their way. They had the balls to do a I Love L.A. song. Thank you for playing that. And, I got to say, play this other song because Starcrawler is called She Gets Around. Like 2.5 minutes of just absolutely blinding, sheer, like, rock. I just love it. I mean, why do people call the suburban party line? I mean, do they ever call to complain? That's why most phone lines are set up as mostly just people bitching. Like, you must have touched a nerve because I haven't called in weeks. And I figured it out. It's the Grammys. And it's like that when you were dissing the Red Hot Chili Peppers, if there are listeners out there who don't know about the Chili Peppers, I'm sorry, but their early albums are okay, but they're just kind of like jammy, funky, like blah. They started to get to be really good songwriters. Then they got really good producer, Rick Rubin. Then they got a really good guitar player, John Frusciante. Anyway, by the time they did By the Way, which is one album before The Intern got Stadium Arcadium, which was bloated and should be edited down to one album. But By the Way, the title track, like Patrick has Book Nook. I want to do Rock in the Suburbs People. Two Echo Park videos. Red Hot Chili Peppers, By the Way, shot all through Echo Park. Anthony Kiedis, like Jason Flea through Echo Park. It's super groovy. It's right by my house, right by, you know, I live above where the Eagles used to record back in the 70s. Anyway, Eagles. I'm not going to sing the Eagles. That would ruin the whole day. And I got cut off when I was trying to say that Ken Burns is going to steal all the best Cocaine and Rhinestone story. And he's going to do some like country music by Ken Burns. And it's going to be so boring. But I can't recommend enough that Cocaine and Rhinestones. It's by far, except for Rock in the Suburbs, the greatest thing ever made. So, you know, except maybe Nevermind the Bullets by the Sex Pistols. Did you know that God Save the Queen went to number one? But it was banned from the public. And they said it was Rod Stewart that was number one. But the actual numbers were Sex Pistols, God Save the Queen. She ain't no human being. And I think that woman is still alive. And then the other video nook is a track by Bedouin. Look up the spelling, Jim. But it's Bedouin, and it's just called Echo Park. And that is also shot in Echo Park, and it's... The song's okay, but the video is cool. It's got some, and the lyrics are cool because it's like, I went down to Echo Park Lake and rode the swan boat. Like, it's really specific to modern day Echo Park. What? God Save the Queen. And then my TV nook would be Big Little Lies. I know I talked about this on an earlier episode, but because I watched the follow-up to that director, called Sharp Objects. The music on that with Zeppelin and everything, that was awesome. But the Big Little Lies? Fast Track.
Echo Park Jimmy.
We're going to do a live round. I can't speak to prophecies or visions in the flames, but I like Jon Snow, and I trust him. and I am an excellent judge of character. Tyrion Lannister, Game of Thrones. The lightning round will begin with the new Silver Sun pickup, produced by Butch Vig. It's funny, they've rocked over the years, but the new album, I'm kind of like on the fence because the sound they came up with, I don't think they know this, but it sounds like later Rush. Remember when Rush got all keyboardy? Because you did that amazing run of episodes where you took bands from the 70s. They're terrible 80s music. But, like, that's a sense of opinion. But I agree, like, Jay Giles was awesome. They were awesome in the 70s. They were awesome in the 80s. But whenever I hear Genesis, I always harken back to Patrick Bateman in American Psycho. Like, do you like Phil Collins? I've been a big Genesis fan ever since the release of your 1980 album, Duke. And like he goes on, I'll do my Patrick Bateman reading later. I was going to do a track, a new Book Nook theme to Shallow. What you reading, Pat? Book Nook. But yeah, that takes me back to the Grammys. That's all I remember of the Grammys is Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper doing Shallow. Like it was real. Are you kidding me? And then fast forward to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I still haven't watched that whole thing because I keep repeating Stevie Nicks absolutely shredding the opening. She does all her 80s solo shredders, you know, one winged dove, and then she brings out Don Henley, who's usually a stick in the mud, but there's tears all around. They do that famous duet, that Tom Petty duet, but they do it with Don Henley. I mean, forget about it. But, you know, hold on. Damn it. Hello? Hey. I loved when Jim was talking about, when they're like, the Ramones, do this theme song to Pet Sematary. And they're like, they basically, spoiler alert, I don't want to be buried in the Pet Sematary. I don't want to live my life again. Like, that's exactly the whole plot of the movie. I don't know if you're supposed to put that going in, but I love that little note. But I forgot, the whole point of this call is you love concert reports. And I went to the Just Like Heaven Festival in Long Beach, California, headlined by the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. And Karen O is such a rock star, bar none. I mean, just everybody was glued to her. Like, there was a bunch of, they called it Aught-cella. You know, there's Coachella, but it was like Aught-cella. And it was rock Aught-cella. It was all rock bands from the aughts, you know, like Phoenix. You know, like Louis the whatever, like the weirdest one was Beach House. I love that band, but they had a completely, you know, the cover of Spinal Tap's album, completely black album. If you go see Beach House, there's no lights. They just play, it's them, but it's just like, you can't see anything. I texted my friend a picture. It was just a black screen, and I'm like, oh, look, this is Beach House. But the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, I don't know if I've ever realized how much I love that band. She didn't even play the songs I wanted her to play. But every tune, Karen O, just, and I know you guys touched on it, but that compilation with Danger Mouse, Karen O and Danger Mouse, that whole album is amazing. I want to, but just in the lightning round to finish my Stephen Rutledge picks, I would love to recommend Fruit Bats, Gold Pass. He's talking about breathlessly calling up your old love like Jon Favreau and Swingers. Why did she have to take your essence from you? You know you're going to feel, you're never going to feel as right than you did in your Gold Pass life. The Fruit Bats. Gold Pass Life. They've been around forever, but this is a big jump into, like, we want a hit single. Like, we need a hit single. We need So I'm dancing in the dark. And then also a band, because I would never remember to recommend this, Piroshka, P-I-R-O-S-H-K-A, Everlastingly Yours.
That's it, guys. It just ends right there.
That was it, huh?
But I like I like how we get to about 2 minutes ago and he goes, but the reason I called
really?
Was to tell you about this concert I went to. Yeah. And let me just
that
say,
that was an awesome concert review.
Oh, yeah, it was. Man, yeah. And let me just say, I've never seen, have you ever seen the Yeah Yeah Yeahs in concert?
Yes, once.
And was it pretty amazing?
Oh, it was amazing.
Because
yeah. Karen O is a fantastic performer. You know, not to overstate the case, but the Iggy Pop vibe is very much present.
Is that right?
Blind, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I only know them from the records, but I love their records.
Oh,
so I would love to see
so good.
See them sometime because I do think that's a real rock band.
Yep.
Yeah. Any other thoughts?
Well, many thoughts, Jim.
I will say there's a lot to unpack there, right?
Yeah. I mean, how much time do you guys have? The one thing I was most intrigued by, Jim, was the fact that EPJ was going to offer a Patrick's Book Nook theme that could potentially compete for the Patrick's Book Nook theme. Now, I will defend the Patrick's Book Nook theme. I think it's fantastic. So unless EPJ is really going to bring it in this case, I mean, you got to bring it, EPJ. Come on, man.
Well, I think you were distracted for a moment when he revealed it in the call. You were looking at something.
Yeah, I was. And also, I was surprised. But I will say this, because he loves Vampire Weekend so much, I'm intrigued by what he could come up with.
I want to hear... So, all right, so...
There's a lot to unpack here.
I don't know. I got to say, first off, that I love the Book Nook theme that you did with Mike Wagner.
Oh,
we'll get to that later next
it's
time we do
fantastic.
Book Nook. But let's move on to...
Yeah. And I just want to say, I hope I die suddenly after a short illness.
Yeah, that's right.
And not get buried in the pet cemetery?
Nope.
Yeah, that's right. Vampire Weekend, he definitely likes that record, I think, a lot.
It's a great album.
You do too?
Yes.
I do too. It's awesome.
Fantastic.
I
want to
hear the song Sunflower that he keeps talking up, featuring Steve Lacy. Yeah. Go Sunflower. Steve Lacy, how do you feel about the whole Rostam thing?
I mean, you know, I think he was a key element of the band, but I'm impressed by this album because he's not on it, and I think, you know, that you know, it's a great band, essentially.
Yes.
Question caught me off guard.
Sorry.
But you know, I like both projects. I think it was an amicable split. You know, think about that song right there, Jim. It really just was very early Yes influence and all that, but I don't know, it's a sprawling double album that encompasses a lot of styles, and I think it's one of those things that we don't necessarily gravitate toward in 2019. It's an album that takes time. It's an album that you have to listen to over and over. It's a double album. It's sprawling. It has a theme. It's got a theme of, you know, divorce and marriage and all these complicated things that we get ourselves into. So it's not something really built for this time and place, but those of you who can spend time with it, I think will be rewarded. And I'm glad Echo Park Jimmy has done that.
Yeah.
You know, he's obviously has some dogs that are impatient that want to go for walks, but he's still spending
about that.
Time. Yes, I do. And he's still spending time trying to listen to the Vampire Weekend album. So I would encourage you guys to listen to it. Also, it's a brave statement. It's a major label record in 2019. Not many people are doing that. And,
right.
You know, they've kind of, you know, flown in the face of convention in many ways. So.
I think Rostam produced some of the songs on this album, if
a
I remember
couple.
Right.
Is that right?
It's
okay.
very interesting. I was lucky enough to interview Rostam and Ezra at South By.
Oh, cool.
When they're right before their last album came out.
I didn't know that.
And
that's awesome.
They were it was a great time. It was interesting. The year before, I'd interviewed Haim and hung out with them at South by Southwest. So, it's kind of a...
EPJ, you're going to love this
these
guy.
These are artists that I'm interested in. I would definitely tell people, I would echo what you say, Patrick, this album is like a breath of fresh air. And if you can't listen to all of it at one time, take four songs at a time.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't take one.
Come back around to it. Yeah.
I mean, Sunflower is kind of a standalone song, but those first few songs, I kind of think you probably want to listen to
two or three in a row. You do have to work on it together. You can't just listen to one or two and say, like, this is the single and it's going to work. It's a piece of work. You have to get together with it.
And it's interesting that he says that he thinks Ezra may have overcompensated, because I could definitely see that as a typical real world reaction to losing a great creative companion.
Absolutely.
But I think it's a great album, and I think it's going to be in many top 10 lists, you know, when we get to the end of the year.
Yeah, I think it'll survive throughout the year. Well said, Mike. And how did you find those guys? Were they nice? Were they accommodating? Did they want to talk to you as a mainstream press reporter? Or?
They were. I mean, I do find that people are usually business, you know, when they deal with you, but they weren't like dealing with Tiger Woods. They're calm and collected. We, like, Ezra and I set out outside along the river of, or I don't know if it's a lake, whatever. It looks like a river to me, but I think they call it a lake in Austin. And we just chatted for a while. And then they did an Austin City Limits show a couple days later.
Yeah.
They were focused on talking. When you asked them a question, they listened and answered. It wasn't like talking to an athlete where you got spouted answers. You know, I was very happy about that.
Yeah, that's one of the things I like about him. I think he is focused on his career, and he understands the bigger picture, like Mick Jagger in some ways, right? He knows it's a business. He knows he has to deal with this, and he also wants to advance his band's agenda and his creativity. So I give him credit for that.
For sure. I really wish I had more time. I think he still DJs on Apple Music or something. I'd like to listen to his show more about and hear what he's listening to, too.
He's always listening to new stuff.
But I think this is a perfect point. I mean, that was a song I don't always get to, because at the gym, you only listen to like 60 minutes or so. You may not get to that song. By the way, Sunflower is the state flower of Kansas. So there you go.
For the record, Rashida Jones, who is Ezra Koenig's partner, was on Parks and Recreation.
Oh, yes, she was.
Parks and Recreation, just so you know.
Superhero to my own offspring.
She is the daughter of Quincy Jones, so that's, you know, music royalty, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I want to go to this Steve Lacy solo record. Have you heard this at all?
I have not.
No. I have not either. I'm interested in this, definitely.
He talked about a number of different songs, but one he kept talking about was Playground. Okay. Let's hear that. Definitely hear the Prince influence in that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Initially, I was thinking this is too busy until the funky bass kicked in. That kind of pulled everything together for me.
Very nice. I could listen to that.
Obviously, very creative.
And what album was that from?
Apollo 21.
Apollo 21. That sounds interesting to me, Jim. I'll also say we love Cocaine and Rhinestones. EPJ gravitated toward Tyler stuff, and he's super smart. I think, like EPJ, can keep many thoughts in his mind at one time. So I'm sure that's why he...
Many thoughts.
Yes.
Kind of circling around and then...
Right. Gravitated toward
touch
that
upon them
thing.
At different moments.
But it really is a fantastic podcast. Can't wait for the next season to come out.
Yes. I understand there's going to be a George Jones emphasis on the next season.
I sure hope so.
My understanding. Okay.
Can't wait.
All right. Let's get out of here. Thanks, guys.
All right, man.
Thanks, EPJ, for calling in. I think he's going to like one of the upcoming guests that we have on the show. That's all I'm going to tell you right now, but just be aware of that. I like that he liked Ricky Peterson.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm too busy to be in the revolution. Whatever, you know, so on. Anyway, thanks very much for all that. If anybody else wants to call in, call... now I've forgotten it. 612-440-1984. There you go.
Talk about Vampire Weekend all you want.
Yeah, there you go. Or email rock@suburbspod.com or find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at suburbspod. We're going to play out with this Starcrawler song he mentioned called She Gets Around, which he said is a real banger. So we're going to do that.
All right.
All right, it's Rock in the Suburbs. Oh, wait. Also, we're going to take a little break. Next 3 days, we have more guest episodes, including our friend Mike here sitting to my right.
Yeah, so don't sign off. Yeah. Listen every day still.
Listen every day.
Don't. Thanks, Mike, for helping us out here, too.
This Mike.
Thanks for the hospitality.
And you're with Brett.
With Brett Motif.
And then Mike Wagner is going to be on for a couple of episodes.
So we've got some mics coming up.
One of those with Nick Scalera.
Nice.
So listen to that the rest of the week. We're going to take a little break again.
Sweet.
You and I, Patrick, we're going to drink these beers. And then, anyway, it's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I'm Mike Snyder.
And Mike, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Mike.
Sounds good.
No editing of Echo Park, Jimmy.